He is risen. Amen. He is risen. It's so great. Let's praise the Lord this morning. This is beautiful. Yeah. Hear the new reality that you live in. When you went to bed last night, what you knew was that everything that you were hanging your hopes on seemed to turn out as a failure. It did not go as you had hoped. Everything you had planned fell apart in the most traumatic and tragic way you could possibly remember. And then you woke up today at Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it for effect, apparently, right? That is awesome. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." It's like this angel and this messenger with this incredible message to bring, and it seems like he's just like chomping, can't wait to do it. "Now I have told you the incredible news." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." God, we thank you so much for this incredible, incredible day. For the fact of our entire concept and grasp of reality being completely turned on its head. Death, the one thing we can be certain of, all of a sudden becoming an uncertainty when you get your hands on it. We thank you so much that through your power, through your strength, you defeated death. You brought the death of death. You laid death in the grave that it had prepared for you. What a turnaround. What a turnaround. Thank you so much that we get to be a part of this victory, that you have swept us up in this, that our lives are laid down with you, that our sins are buried and put to death in you, and that our new lives are raised up through your resurrection. This is an incredible moment, but it's a moment that has this ripple effect that we continue to experience and continue to feel today, and all around the world, Christians who call themselves by your name, who call themselves as followers of yours, are celebrating the ultimate victory today. That is yours alone, and yet you let us share in it. We praise you. We glorify you. We lift you up. You are everything. You are everything. Amen. 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 I love this passage, and we're going to look specifically at just three different phrases here that are in this passage that the angel brings to the women. And so the three ones that we're going to look at is this statement that he makes. It all comes in this one sentence. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. We're going to look at those three statements. He's not here. He is risen, And just as he said, we're going to start here with he's not here. All right, he's not here. Anybody know of the local watering hole by the name of he's not here? Right. They're getting a lot of free publicity today, right? When was the last time you saw a church tie its Easter message up with the title of a local bar? All right. There you go. It's beautiful. I hope they don't mind. But it's beautiful. What a statement. What a statement. He's not here. And we've joked about that for a while, that every time we see those bumper stickers, that's what like pops into our head. Every time we see that awesome thing on the wall, every time we think about he's not here, this is what comes to mind, is this story right here. He's not here. From the start, we understand here from the dawn of Easter morning, from the very beginning, one thing we understand about Jesus is that he is full of surprises. He is full of surprises. There is nothing more certain in this world than death. And yet Jesus turns that whole idea on its head. They go looking for Jesus where they last left him. They knew exactly where he was. He's safely sealed in, completely contained. And when they go looking for him, they get this incredible news. No, he's not here. He's not here. He's not here. Jesus is full of surprises. Even the most certain endings take a twist when he comes into the picture. Here's the thing we need to know about Jesus. Jesus is always faithful. Jesus is always faithful, but Jesus is never predictable. Jesus is always faithful. He's never predictable. Jesus never changes, but he is always changing us and everything around him. You cannot come into the orbit of Jesus without being utterly transformed. To follow Jesus is to be transformed. To have an encounter with Jesus is to be transformed. He never changes, but he is always changing us and changing everything around him. Jesus is forever the same, but he is always new. He is forever the same, but he is always new. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, but he is always new. And the more that you live with him, the more that you walk with him, the more you discover this to be true. And here I am, 36 years old. I've been on this day 36 different times, right? Celebrating Easter 36 different times. And every single time is fresh and it's new with this incredible experience as we realize what Jesus has done for us and what Jesus has accomplished. He's always the same, but he is ever, ever new. To follow Jesus is to prepare yourself for the unexpected. To follow Jesus is to sign up to be surprised. He will constantly surprise you. He will constantly change that story on you. He will surprise you in the most beautiful of ways. Here's the thing about Jesus. He is not stagnant. He is not safely secured in stained glass, right where you know where he's going to be, right? Jesus is always on the move. Jesus is alive. That's what this day tells us. Jesus is alive. He is living. He is pulsing with life and pulsing with surprises. To follow Jesus is to be changed. To sign up as a follower of Jesus is to expect the unexpected. To know that you will be surprised by what he does in your life. Change does not always equal growth. Change does not always equal growth, but I guarantee you, I promise you, growth always requires change. And Jesus is out to change you. Jesus is out to change you. He is bent on it, and he will do it. He will do it. As you submit your life to Jesus, you will find that it is transformed, that it is changed. He is always on the move. Well, this is where I left him. This is where he was safely sealed in, perfectly constrained. No, he's not here. He's not here. He's alive, and he's on the move. The next piece that we have here is a statement that the angel says to the women and this incredible news that adds to he's not here. It's not just he's not here, his body has been stolen or something like that that they were afraid of. No, he is risen. There you go. I'm going to keep testing you guys. All right, we're going to drop it in there from time to time. We only get to do this like once a year, so we're going to get the complete use out of it. All right. So this incredible statement of he is risen, and I'll go ahead and say it for you this time. He is risen indeed. Okay. This incredible statement of that. And every time we are saying this back and forth with each other, what we are doing is we are participating in this compact creed. All right, we're participating in this compact creed, this three-word statement, he is risen, that tells us what we believe and proclaims what we believe. We believe this. We believe this. All of Christianity hangs on this. All of Christianity hangs on this. We know that Jesus died for us on the cross. We're humbled by that. We're blown away by that. It's impossible to get our minds around the depth of love in that, the depth of love and mercy and grace and justice that happens in that moment when he dies and he, through that death, forgives our sins and wins our rescue. We are blown away by that. But Christianity does not end there. Christianity does not end there. We believe in an empty tomb. We believe that Jesus is alive, not just some kind of ghost story that his spirit is like pops up in different places. No, we believe that Jesus, his body, he walks out of the tomb. Jesus is alive. We believe the whole thing. Every time we say that back and forth with each other, it's a compact creed saying this is what we believe. All of Christianity hangs on this. Paul tells us this. Paul says that Christianity and this faith is only alive as Jesus is, and only as real as Jesus is. And if Jesus is not raised from the dead, if Jesus is not alive, then you and I are fools living a lie. Christianity is only as alive and real as Jesus is. So we believe it when we say that. This is a compact creed. This is what we believe, that Jesus is alive. We do not honor a martyr who gives his life for a worthy cause. That's not what Christianity is. We worship the Messiah, the Son of God, who lays down his life by his own will and surrender to the will of the Father, and working with the will of the Spirit, lays down his own life. And through his own strength, and through the strength of the Spirit, and through the strength of the Father, picks it back up again in ultimate victory. That's what we believe. That's what we believe. And so from the bottom of our hearts, we say that. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. That's our creed. We believe this. Because we believe that he is risen, we also believe this. We believe that salvation is full. We completely believe in the forgiveness that Jesus wins for us in the cross, absolutely. But we also know that there's more than just forgiveness for an old way of living, that the empty tomb promised us a new way of life. It's more than forgiving our past. The empty tomb promises us a new way of life. And we see that when Jesus comes onto the scene, new life begins to spring up everywhere. Everywhere Jesus goes, new life begins to spring up. From virgin wombs to occupied tombs, new life is showing up everywhere. Everywhere he goes. And it doesn't just stop here. It doesn't just stop at this incredible story here. It spills out onto the next pages of the story as it goes on. And in the book of Acts, we see Peter, who in this story, we found him being a coward who's hiding in the shadows when he's questioned by a young girl. He's hiding in the shadows, denying that he even knew Jesus in Jesus' time of deepest need. But in the book of Acts, we see a massive transformation in Peter's life. Suddenly, Peter is being used to help establish this movement of Jesus and the mission of Jesus in the world through the establishment of the church in the world as the Holy Spirit drives them forward. And Peter is the one who stands and proclaims the gospel on the day that the church is born. And it says 3,000 people became a part of the movement of Jesus that day. This man who used to be a coward, now Peter the courageous. What happened? What happened? He had a personal encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was utterly transformed by that. When Jesus shows up, new life springs up everywhere. We see it doesn't stop with Peter, but it goes to an even more unlikely place, an even more impossible place, and that's Paul. Paul, who we originally know as Saul, who is this person who is on a murder spree, persecution spree, trying to stomp out the church, trying to stomp out the movement of Jesus, has an encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ, is filled with the Holy Spirit, and we find that he becomes the most effective missionary, begins this incredible missionary journey that sparks the movement of the church throughout the world, takes it to brand new places, ends up writing half of the New Testament, becomes the chief theologian of the church, the one we turn to when we have questions so many times about what did the life of Jesus mean. We look to Paul. Look what happens when Jesus comes on the scene. New life springs up everywhere. There's a song that's probably being sung around the world today. It's called Amazing Grace. Many of you know that song, right? If you've never been to a church before in your life, if today is your first time, you probably still know that song. It's written by a man named John Newton, who wrote that in response to the amazing grace he experienced in his life. He didn't begin that way. In fact, he had spent years as the captain of a slave ship. Wow. Incredible turnaround because of the grace of Jesus Christ, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the transformation of the Holy Spirit. And then there's an even more impossible and improbable story, and it's yours and it's mine. Every single one of us are walking testimonies of the power of the resurrection, of what new life can look like when Jesus Christ gets a hold of our lives. New life springs up everywhere in the most impossible of places. Because of today, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, new life is possible in you. New life is possible in you. If you have experienced that, then your heart should be overflowing today with the joy of what this day means. If you have not experienced that before, it is possible. It is possible. And we believe that the resurrection is an actual event in history that happened on an actual day. But we also believe it continues to have a ripple effect, that we are living in the echo of the empty tomb, in the aftermath of Easter, and it continues to transform us today. And you are next. You are next. Do you want that? Submit to that. Open your heart up to that. And the risen Christ, the risen Christ, will bring new life into you as well. We see that Jesus is victorious. Jesus is victorious over sin. He secures the death of death. He lays death in the grave that it had prepared for him. And we see that as we say this term of he is risen, it's this statement that the end is not the end. The end is not the end. One of the names that is given to Jesus throughout Scripture is he is called the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. See, because of that, he gets to decide when the end is and no one else. When they sealed that tomb, they were confident that that was the end. But the one they had sealed in was actually the beginning. So he gets to say when the beginning and when the end happens. And that's what today is about. Friday looked like the end and Saturday sealed the proof of it. But Sunday morning said, a new beginning is dawning. The sorrow of Saturday gives way to the joy of Sunday, and the weeping that lasts for the night, joy comes with the morning. Joy comes with the morning, and we're experiencing that today. Jesus is the beginning and the end. He determines when that happens. So here's the thing. When my faith is rocked and everything that I believe in seems worthless, I remember how the disciples felt on Saturday, and I feel that with them. When addiction chokes the life out of us and holds us prisoner in an endless cycle, we remember that there is one strong enough to defeat even the hold of death. When our marriages crumble, when our families collapse, when they're broken and on their last breath, we remember the God who specializes in resurrection. And we ask that to happen in our own lives as well. When the cards are stacked against us and our friends have turned against us, when the storms rage against us and the system conspires against us and everything and everyone everywhere is against us, we remember that there is one who is for us. His name is Jesus Christ, and he is victorious. He has risen. Amen. The end is not the end. When humanity fell into sin in the garden, we thought it was the end. But today, we see Jesus Christ standing as the victor over sin once again in the garden, declaring, "This is only the beginning. This is only the beginning." He's not here, the angel said. He is risen, just as he said. Just as he said. The words of Jesus are faithful and true. The words of Jesus are faithful and true. And Easter proves to us that when God speaks, he has the power to meet that with the force of his own life. The words of Jesus Christ, the power of those words are met by the force of his resurrected life that say, when I say something, I will bring it into reality. I will bring it into reality. You can count on it. Easter proves that we can trust the promises of Jesus. No matter how far-fetched or radical they seem to us, we can promise them. We can count on those promises. Absolutely. Because he said it. Because he said it. And we can count on it. One of the incredible things here is that twice in this story, we hear these encouraging words. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And Jesus, who has conquered everything, Jesus, who has conquered sin, Jesus, who has conquered death, says to us, do not be afraid. Take heart. Trust in me. Trust in me. And we know that we can hang it all on those words. We can take courage from those words because he said it. He said it. We can trust it. We can trust it. On his last night with his disciples, when he was preparing to go to the cross, he shared the Passover meal with them. And as he did that, he infused a new meaning into that meal. Into that meal that already had so much meaning, that had so much history and weight behind it. He infused not just the history of it, but the future of it, of what was about to take place. And while Jesus was there with his disciples, he took the bread that was on the table and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken to make you whole." And he took the cup and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. My blood spilled out for your salvation. Whenever you drink it, remember what I did for you. Remember what I am doing in you." Today we celebrate that. But it takes on a different note this morning than it did that night. It takes on this note of emphatic victory. Incredible victory. And Friday night, many of us were together to remember the cross,
to celebrate what Jesus did for us on the cross. And there's this heaviness of heart and this sense of mourning as we shared in the body and the blood of Christ together then. But this morning, this feast is different. This is different because now we understand in the fullness of what this means. We can see it so much more clearly. And we see that the sacrifice for our sins that wins our salvation also leads to the freedom that comes through the resurrection. This is for us. And the empty tomb is as well. We celebrate that this morning. Father, we thank you for the depth of your goodness, for the richness of your grace. Today, our hearts are overwhelmed with joy because of what it means, because of what you have done, because of what you have accomplished, because of the new reality that you welcome us into. When we went to bed last night, the world was a dark place. When we woke up, we realized the beauty of the dawn and what it brings. You are alive. You are alive, and you're alive in us. We love you. We thank you. To your name we pray. Amen.